This morning we have decorated the sanctuary with tulips and lilies and daffodils. But after hearing our scripture for this morning, I am wondering if perhaps it would have been better to put up caution tape instead of flowers. After hearing about an earthquake and a rolling stone, perhaps we should have handed out hard hats instead of Easter bonnets this morning. For according to Matthew, there is something about this day that could very well shake us to our core. But before we go any further, let us pray together. Holy One, if it is true, if it is to be believed, then that changes everything. So meet us, I pray, as you met them on that day so long ago. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, the Gospel of Matthew tells us that Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. They went to see the tomb. Scripture does not say that they came with spices to anoint the body or that they came to weep in their grief. All that the scripture tells us is that they came to see the tomb. Why? Why, I wonder? It's not like this would have been the first time that somebody precious to them would have ever been laid in a tomb. Especially in that time when child mortality rates were high and life expectancy was low, these women would have been all too acquainted with tombs. Nor can I believe that they came to the tomb that day because somehow they needed to make real the nightmare that was Friday when their beloved friend was crucified. I don't think they came to the tomb because they needed help in taking in what had happened. They had been there after all. They had seen it all. And it's not like what happened to Jesus was something new. It was not an anomaly at all. There was nothing unbelievable about what had happened to Jesus. What happened to Jesus was happening all of the time. Crucifixion was nothing new. Death was nothing new for them, not in that time, and sadly, not in ours as well. So why hadn't the women moved on? The other disciples had, you'll notice, it's just the women that show up today. The other disciples were across town strategizing about what to do next now that their leader was dead. They were trying to decide, should they return to Galilee and take up their old lives again? The disciples had moved on. Why weren't the women? They couldn't accept the fact. They should have accepted the fact that death won yet again. That resistance to the death-dealing machinations of power of the day, well, that's just futile. So what was it? What was it that drew them to that tomb that first Easter morning? At the University of Central America in San Salvador, it is possible to walk through the residence and into the garden, where in 1989, six Jesuit priests, their housekeeper, and their daughter were brutally killed by Salvadoran death squads. Whenever Mark and I would come into the city from our work in the countryside, we would go to see those rooms and that garden. We would go to see it not because we needed to remind ourselves that such a horror could happen, but we would go to see it because somehow in doing so, we would experience a deep connection with the spirit, the energy, and the love that filled those priests that worked hard to push back against the violence of their time and who advocated tirelessly for the dignity of the poor. It's hard for me to put it into words, but there was a presence there. There was something there that, despite the violence that killed them, was still very much alive. To stand in that garden for me was to experience a deep connection with something powerfully good, something that filled me with strength and conviction and even hope. To stand in that garden, in that space for me, was to experience something of the Christ. I think that is why the women came to the tomb that day, why they came to the garden to see, why they came to that place on that first Easter morning. I think it was hope. A conviction of hope that would not die, a hope to connect with the power of goodness that they had with Jesus, that even in his death they hoped that they would experience still. And it wasn't just them that was hoping, I think. It was as if all of heaven and earth was holding its breath in hope as well. Hoping that those that loved and followed Jesus would not fall into despair. Hoping that at least a remnant would cling to hope. For on that morning, when hope met hope, things started to happen. Hope brought the women to the tomb that morning, and hope met them there. And when it did, there was a seismic shift. When hope met hope, tectonic plates moved, a boulder rolled away, and a doorway to a future was flung open. For the angel, that heavenly messenger, tells them, "Do not be afraid. I know you are looking for Jesus who is crucified, but he is not here. He has been raised, as he said. Come see the place and then go. Go quickly and tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. And there you will see him." Let the full import of this good news not be lost upon us. What is being proclaimed this morning is that Christ is moving in the world. Jesus does not go from the empty tomb straight up to the right hand of God to settle a score or pay back a debt. No, the angel proclaims that love and the power of God is on the move in the world right now. Resurrection means new life, not just at the end of our lives, but right now in the midst of whatever it is that we may be facing. We live right now, proclaims the good news. We live right now in a Christ-soaked world, to borrow a phrase from the Franciscan priest Richard Rohr. This is the good news at the very heart of the resurrection story. Could we start to actually believe that all of creation is proclaiming this? Could we start to trust that Easter is not a one-time event that happened long ago on the far side of the world, but that Easter is a unique revelation of an ongoing reality of resurrection that is our ever-present possibility right now? Can we trust that the saving, life-giving power of Christ is moving in the world and is yearning to meet us, to heal us, to invite us into itself, so that we may join Christ in bringing forth new life? Now here is where the caution tape comes in and where we may want to exchange our Easter bonnets for hard hats. For this good news also means that to be Easter people, we are to be the ones that seek an encounter with Christ. And that means that we too must help people see, as Jesus did, to see the systems of domination that continue to enslave God's people. We proclaim love today, but we know that there is still much hate in the world. To be Easter people, people of the resurrection, means that we are to join with Christ in the good work of putting an end to violence as a tool of social control. We are to join the Christ in confronting systems of oppression of our day and to end their death-dealing ways. This is our good work to do. So on this day and the days to come, may we be as Mary and Mary Magdalene. May hope burn within us. May we be led by hope to the broken places in our world. May we encounter there the Christ and the new life that is waiting to come forth. And may we, in all we are and in all we do, may we proclaim the power of God's love alive in the world. A love that changes everything, not just today, but in all days to come. Thanks be to God. Amen.